Faith in God takes perseverance. You got to persevere in your faith. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep praising you, God, no matter what my circumstances say, no matter what the people in my life say, no matter what they do.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Need to Persevere and was recorded live at the Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today, we're going to be talking about the need to persevere. And I would pray that everybody's ears perks open for this one. Because this is a very important sermon that you're going to hear today. If you're going through anything in your life right now, and chances are you are, if you've been through anything in your life, chances are you have, you want to hear this. But even if the first two are not true, rest assured, hang around long enough, you will be going through something in your life. Because the next trial and tribulation and testing is right around the corner. Because in this life, Jesus says that we will have trials and tribulations. You're not going to escape it just because you're a Christian. Amen? So today I want to talk about the need to persevere. Amen? Let's all rise for the reading of God's holy word. Key verse, Hebrews 10:36. I'm reading out of the NIV. Hebrews 10:36 reads, "You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." You need to persevere, because when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You need to persevere. What is perseverance? Persevere to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no indication of success. Persevere. Listen, the walls are closing in on you. Looks like you're doomed. It's never going to happen. You're finished. You're washed up. Do you give up? You persevere. Because if you're doing the will of God, if you're doing the will of God, you don't give up. You persevere. That's the key. The will of God. Anybody catch that? The will of God. The reason why, listen to this now, listen, to persevere, one must have patience, courage, and above all, faith. Listen, if you don't have faith in something, you're not going to persevere in something. If you don't believe that God told you to do something, you're going to give up and walk away from it. You're going to give up and walk away from it because, I don't know, this can't be God. Why is it so hard if God told me to do it? God should just open up the door and I should just be able to walk right in through it. True, there are times that God will do that for you. But there's other times when he's told you to do something and the devil will step up and say, "Oh no, you wait. I ain't going to let you." And he'll stand right in your way. He'll stand right in your way. Or this time's God told you to do something and you'll stand in your way. "I'm not doing that. That's too hard. Shoot, I could be doing something better, easier, funner." Most people fail to persevere because they have an "everyone owes me" attitude. Now, what do I mean by that? When you start getting an attitude that things should be given to you and that everybody owes you something, you get an attitude of unappreciation. When you get an attitude of unappreciation, you don't even look towards God for the things he's already done and is doing in your life. When you don't look towards those things, you start getting this attitude that you don't have to do anything for yourself, that everybody else should do it for you. And if they're not going to do it for you, well, then you don't want anything to do with them, and you just ain't going to try. As soon as those type of people have to have patience, or they have to struggle, or they have to work for something, they give up. They don't persevere. People give up when they have to have patience, or they have to struggle, or they have to work for something. This is what's happening in America today. And God is calling us to persevere even when we have to have patience, and we have to struggle, and we have to work. Serving God is hard. Serving God is difficult. The world is against you. The devil is against you. But you know who else is against you? Yourself. 24 hours a day, you got yourself nagging at you. But to persevere, you got to get up and you got to say, I got work from the Lord to do. He's going to give me my strength today. He's my reason to wake up. Maybe the world doesn't give you a reason to wake up, but Jesus does. I want to be with Jesus. And the only way I can be with Jesus is to be obedient to him. There is no other way that you can have fellowship with God unless you are with Jesus through obedience. If you love me, you will obey me. Right? So you're loving God when you're obeying him. And one of the things he tells us to do is to persevere. Now, listen to this. Number one, perseverance is suffering. Perseverance is suffering. Look at James 5:11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You're blessed if you persevered. You're blessed if you persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, if you guys have been through the book of Job, you know suffering has never been suffering like it has been with Job. Because Job went through some horrible testing. But listen, perseverance is suffering. It means it's not going good for you. It means it's going hard. It means it's rough. It means you want to quit. It means it's hard to stay in the game. Job was patient in suffering. He won the approval and blessing of God through his trust and determination. If God told you to do something and you're doing it, you're going to meet opposition somewhere down the road. But listen, I'm out to please God. I'm not out to please people. People will fail you. They will let you down. They don't always mean to do that. They don't always mean to do that, but they do. But when we start failing God, we got a problem with self. We got a problem with self because, listen, when you start failing God, it's going to start affecting you directly. And when it starts affecting you directly, it's going to start affecting everybody in your life. Your children, your parents, your friends, everybody that comes into contact with you in some way, shape, or form is going to be affected by your failure to persevere in what God told you to do. Job 13:15. Listen to what Job says here. This is amazing. Though he's speaking of God, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. What does that mean? Job is saying that whatever the will of God is for my life, I will hope in him. Destroy me, God. If that is your will, I have hope in that too. Cut me down. Take everything away. Obliviate me. Take everything I have. Guess what? That was happening to Job. All of his children were killed. He was afflicted with a disease. He had boils on his face and body and skin. He lost his livestock. Everything was taken away in a blink of an eye. And he was in great agony from the affliction that Satan put upon him. The devil approached God, and God asked him what he was up to. And the devil said, you know what I'm doing? I'm walking the earth. I'm looking for someone I can get. I'm looking for somebody I can get. That's what the devil says to the Lord. Oh, you guys didn't know the devil talked to God. You better believe he talks to God. You know what he's talking to him about? You. He's accusing you 24 hours a day to God. You know what God says to him, though? God asks him a question. Have you considered my servant, Job? There is no one more righteous than Job. This is God talking to the devil. Have you considered my servant, Job? There's no one righteous. There's no one more righteous than him. Job was blameless in front of God. In other words, God didn't have it out for Job. But he's asking the devil, did you test him? And you know what the devil said? Guess what? Let me tell you something, God. The reason why Job blesses you all the time and worships you all the time is because he has no problems. See, it's the old saying, when things are going good, you don't complain to God, do you? And that's what the devil was accusing Job of. He was saying, listen, if you let me get a hold of this guy, he will curse you to your face. Just put your face against him. Now, see, God already knew what was going to happen, but we had to have a book in the Bible. We had to know what was going to happen. So God said, you know what, Satan? Everything is yours. You can do whatever you want to the man, but you cannot kill him. And the devil went to town on Job. Now, the reason why this is so scary is because it shows us a side of God that some of us don't know about, but it's in the Bible. It shows us a side of God that the devil can ask permission to get a hold of you. And God, at times, many times, will give him that permission to get you. It's not because God is evil. It's not because God is out to get you, but because God has in his mind a larger, broader picture of humanity, because it's not about you or me or her or them. It's about all of us together. And Job was going through this suffering so that we would have a book in the Bible that would explain another attribute about God. And Job persevered. And so now we're teaching on this, are we not? It's blessing generations thousands and thousands of years later. Job didn't know this, but God is using this man's suffering and is as an example of how we are to suffer through perseverance. We should also be patient in suffering. We should look for its purpose and seek to glorify God through it. Somebody in here, they're not here today. They were involved in a car accident. And I told them at the beginning, when they were going through broken ribs and headaches and pain, I said, there will come a day when you will be thanking God for this car accident. And they said, are you out of your mind? Are you insane? A couple of nights ago, I didn't even bring it up. They did. They said, you know what? One of the best things that ever happened to me was that car accident. It brought me closer to God. It humbled me. It made me see that I wasn't in control of things. It put me flat on my back for a while. It's made me sick. It's made me tired. It's made me see things I didn't see. And I turned and I looked at this person and I said, now you're starting to grow. When you can start praising God before you're out of the storm, before you're out of the storm, you know you're growing spiritually and you mean it. And you can see the purpose that God has in the trial and tribulation. Now, did God put this person through a car accident? I doubt it. I don't believe that. I don't think that God's thoughts towards us are of evil. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10, hear this. Be self-controlled and alert. You need to get control of yourself. Stop controlling everybody else. Stop worrying about everybody else. Stop thinking about everybody else and what they're doing wrong and what you don't like about their lives. Stop that. That's none of your business. The Bible says you be self-controlled. You're the only one you can control anyways. You can gripe and complain, right? And backstab and nip and gossip all you want. You ain't going to control nobody. You ain't going to change the circumstances because of what you're doing, because of your fretting. No, the Bible says you be self-controlled and alert. Pay attention. Think about what's going on, because listen, while you're in somebody else's business, the devil's in yours. You hear what I'm saying? While you're worried about somebody else and how to control their life and what you do or don't like about their life, right? While you're trying to live somebody else's life, listen to this. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you're not self-controlled, if you're not alert, I promise you, you're going to be the one that he devours. I give you that promise. Get off your guard. Lose your self-control. And watch how he'll walk right into your life and take everything that you have. Because you know what? He's a liar. He's a thief and he's a murderer and he will take everything from you. But listen, while you're out worrying about your brother and what he or she is not doing that you don't like, he's looking at you thinking, you're all worried in everybody else's business. And now I'm coming up right behind you. You don't even see. Look at you looking at your brother. You don't even know what's going on in your own life. And he's just coming around the side. And you're looking at your brother, your sister. And he's coming up. He's got that dagger out. And before you know it, you lose your self-control. You lose your alertness. He's got you. He's got you. He's got everything that you have. Roaring lion. You know what that means? It means he likes to make a lot of noise. You ever hear something near your head? Someone's getting on your nerves, and you hear this thing in your head. You gonna let them do that to you? You can't let them talk to you like that. You gonna let them treat you like that? You better say something. You better do something. That's the roaring lion. That's him lying to you. You better take control of somebody else's life. You better get your business. You better get your nose in someone else's business. Listen, it says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. You can't resist the devil if you don't have any faith in God, right? You got to have faith in God to obey the word of God. Amen? If God is tugging at your heart and saying, calm down, have some peace, gentleness, and kindness, obey my commands, and you will resist the devil. But if you don't obey God, guess what? You're not going to calm down because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not the only one that's hurting. You're not the only one that this horrible thing has ever happened to. So that makes you a little bit less entitled to the sympathy and the woe is me and feel sorry for me attitude that some of us get. Amen? We're all guilty of that. But listen, our brothers and sisters are going through the same kind of suffering. It ain't all happening to you and only you. Now listen, verse 10, and the God of all grace, oh, I love that word, unearned, unmerited favor, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. What's this stuff about suffering? Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about it. The Bible is. You don't think that Jesus suffered? You don't think that we suffer as Christians? Man, in America, the persecution is just on the rise. They're already trying to attack Christmas. Some stores won't even allow their employees to talk about Christmas. My son told me the other day that at school, they can't even say Merry Christmas. It's forbidden by the employees. But listen, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Don't you want to be spiritually strong? Do you want to be defeated? Do you want to be strong? Who wants to be defeated in here? Nobody wants to be defeated. But you got to do the things that are required in order to get that. It's not given to you. Perseverance is sorrow. Perseverance is sorrow. Listen to this. Psalm 40 and 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Any of you ever just cry out to God? I'm talking about tears, sobbing. But the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know what that means? It didn't mean that he just cried out and God said, yeah, can I help you? What's going on, man? Just tell me everything you have and I'll fix it right now. You're in the hot water that you got yourself into for a while, right? And you're sitting there and you're boiling and you're cooking and you don't like it, do you? But the whole time you're there, you're thinking about, how did I get here anyways? Well, I'll tell you how I got here. She did it. Or he did it. They did it to me. You're still in the hot water. That attitude didn't get you out, did it? So now you're still waiting. You're still not being patient. You're like, okay, somebody got me here. She did it to me. So we blame everybody else. We go through the whole scenario. And then we start saying, you know what? If God really loved me, he wouldn't have let me get into this mess. Because God doesn't love me. Then we start blaming God. That's not patient. Patience is where you say, God, I really messed up. Man, I know that I would probably like to blame other people, but God, you know what? I really messed up, and I'm sorry. And I'm really, really, really in trouble right now, God. And I don't deserve for you to do anything for me because I got myself into this. That's the beginning of patience, and that's the beginning of an attitude that you should come with God because he already knows that you did it to yourself. And you're not fooling him. And you can sit right where you are until you start confessing to God your sin, okay? So then you start coming, oh, God, you know what, God, I'm really in trouble. And then you start crying out to him. But, God, I believe that even now you can help me. I believe now, even now, God, you can pull me out of this. And you know what? God starts working for you, but he doesn't always let you see what he's doing. He could be working in your circumstance right now. He could be working in your circumstance right now. He could be fixing something right now for you, and you don't even know he's doing it because he's trying to teach you patience because you don't always see God working. You don't always see God working. It could already be done and ready for you to grab the blessing, but you don't see it because you're not being patient. And so he's already sending things out to fix it. Okay? But listen, this man said, he turned to me and he heard my cry. God hears your cries. He hears your cries. Jesus was a man of sorrow. He bore deception, disgrace, and death with patience, compassion, and forgiveness. Why do you always say, I always tell you this, Jesus is our example to live by. We follow him. The Bible says we follow Jesus. Jesus suffered. He went through some things. What, you better than Jesus now? You're entitled to a better life than Jesus had? If God didn't make it easy for his son, you think he's going to make it easy for his children? I know there's preachers on TV that preach that stuff, but it's not biblical. There is not a golden road on this planet that God lays down for Christians to walk and that they're immediately materialistically blessed. Listen, I know of Christians that are good Christians. They're faithful Christians, and they died, poor, but they loved God, and they were content, and they were happy, and they were blessed because they were content in the Lord. That doesn't mean that everybody dies poor. I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying that whatever the Lord has dealt you in your life, accept it, persevere, continue on, and do the will of God. Because until you start doing the will of God in perseverance, it's not going to happen for you. Your attitude is never going to change. You're going to wake up every day waiting for your ship to come in with the attitude of, I'll be happy when. When what? When what? When will you be happy? When the trial's over, another one's coming. You know that. As soon as one's over, the other one's already knocking on the door. You're letting the other one out the back door, and the next trial is knocking on the front door. When you get better friends, you better love the friends you got now. Because there ain't no better friend around the corner. When your family straightens up, maybe you need to straighten up. Amen? Isaiah 53:3. This is what it says about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. And we esteem him not. Okay, I'm going to put something in context for you guys real good. You guys are going to get this. If you don't believe that people hide their faces from Jesus, if you don't believe that people despise him and walk away from him, the next time you get around your friends at work or family who are not believers, you start shouting out in front of everybody, I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. And you get on your knees and you start shouting that in front of your unbelieving friends and watch them walk away from you. And you go up to your friends and you say, I want to tell you something. And man, I want to tell you about Jesus. I got to tell you something about Jesus. Come here, I want to tell you, you know Jesus died for you? Start witnessing at work. Start witnessing to your family. And watch what happens. You will be persecuted. People will walk away from you. If you don't think that Jesus is despised and rejected, start speaking him outside of church and watch how you're despised. We should also be patient in sorrow. We should endure trials, troubles, and testing as Jesus did. Listen, when you're called to be a Christian, you're an ambassador of Christ. That means you should look like Jesus. You should look like Jesus. You should act like Jesus. You should behave like Jesus in and outside of the public's eye. You should be walking around, acting and looking like Jesus. Does that mean you're perfect? No. Does that mean you're better than people? No. Does that mean you never make a mistake? No. None of that. It just means that you read your word, you pray, and you worship, and you attend church, and you're faithful to your brothers and sisters, and you obey the commandments of God through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and you submit your life to God. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Listen, the next time you're pointing your finger at somebody, remember you got fingers pointing back at you too. Quit being so critical about everybody. Everybody wants everyone to be perfect and never make a mistake and never have a problem. You just do everything I tell you to do and everything will be fine in my life. Where's the kindness in that? Where's the compassion in that? Where's the forgiveness in that? You know you haven't forgiven somebody when you bring up stuff that happened 3 weeks ago. Perseverance is victory. Who wants to have victory? Raise your hand if you want victory. See, the reason why you guys are sitting here today? Because you're persevering. Devil said, don't come to church. But you said, well, I got to come to church because it's what God wants me to do. God wants you here so you can get some word of God in you. Amen? You're persevering. You didn't have to come to church, right? There was people in the church that couldn't make it, so my wife and I, we prayed, and the Lord delivered a van. Victory! People didn't have a ride. We got victory over that. We persevered. They said, you'll never get a van. Ha, they don't know my God. My God will provide all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means when I'm doing his will and a need comes up, God says, here it is. This is for you, my child. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people are watching you. People are watching you. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What does that mean? Well, first of all, the world's watching you, Christian. They're waiting for Sherry to mess up. You ain't no Christian. You just talk like one. You act like one. Man, I don't see no change. I don't see no peace in your life. I don't see no love. That's true. Some people want you to be perfect. I understand that. But there's some attributes that people do have to see in a Christian. And listen to this. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Throw off everything that hinders. Look in your life and see what you got that's blocking you from coming to God. Is it an unforgiving attitude? Is it a friend you shouldn't be hanging around with? Is it a sin? Listen. And the sin that so easily entangles. Sin will mess you up. You don't have control of your sin. You don't have control. It controls you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it and feeling so bad afterwards. But Pastor, I don't feel bad after I sin. Then you're in real trouble. Then you're in real trouble. Amen. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Quit running somebody else's race. Quit coming up to the pastor and telling him how to run his life. Quit coming up to your neighbor and telling your neighbor how to run their life. That's not your business. That's not the race God gave you. God set before you the race you're supposed to run. So quit judging other people and telling them the race they're supposed to run. Worry about your own race, right? Because this isn't about who gets over the finish line first. Because if that was the case, there's been many saints who have died before us that have made it to heaven before we did. I guess we're losers? No. No, it's about finishing, period. It's about not giving up. It's about persevering, okay? The race that's marked out for us, the Christian race, okay? See, we're all going to the same destination, but God doesn't always give us the same route to get there. So you might see your brother walk in this direction and he's following Jesus, but you think you're following Jesus and you're going this way and you're like, brother, I think you're doing something wrong. Well, what are you thinking about me for? Why don't you start thinking about yourself? Maybe your life will be a little cleaner. Maybe you'll be a little bit happier. You won't wake up in the middle of the morning, think about everybody else's problems. Maybe you'll start praying about your own. Perseverance is needed in order to attain spiritual victory. We must repent of sin and turn towards the will of God in our lives. I'm telling you right now, there's sin in your life. And I'm not the one to judge, but God knows what's in your heart. If there's something going on that's not lining up with the word of God, you ain't going to get your victory. You're going to sit there in the pot and boil. We must repent of sin and turn towards the will of God. There's got to be a point in your life. We say, God, I'm tired of living this way. I hear the preacher man talking about it, and I know there's a better life. How come I'm not getting it? And I know people are happy. I'm not one of them, but I know that there's people out there that have joy. Why am I not? Well, you're not listening to me. I've got a better plan for your life. Do my will. But God, you don't understand. You told me to go to church, and I'm going to church. You told me to pray, and I do that when I'm in trouble or I need something. And I say hi to you every now and then. And you know, about reading your word, I read it on the screen at church. So I read your word. And God is saying, listen, do you want a religion or do you want a relationship? Do you want to know me on a personal basis? Do you want to get to know me? If you really want to get to know me, you got to step into my word. You got to get into the pages. You got to hear what I'm saying to you when you're reading my word. You'll get to know me in my word, but you'll also get to know me around other Christians who are obedient. You'll also get to know me through worship. You know, worship isn't just for God, it's for you too. Perseverance is needed after success has been attained so that we do not lose our victory. I've seen people do it a million times. God gives them a blessing, they got a victory, and then they start living their life any way they want to. I've arrived. I'm on top. I run the show. I got my promotion at work, and now I could be a tyrant. Right? You ever seen anybody get promoted at work? They are real nice to you when they were your equal, and then they get a promotion, and it goes to their head. You ever see that happen? They lose everything with that attitude because sooner or later they're going to topple themselves. So yes, we need to persevere after success. But then there's another side of this. You get a success, you get elevated, right? And people become jealous. Now you're doing the right thing and the people around you have changed. Perseverance means setbacks. Genesis 39:20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Joseph was working in Egypt as a servant, and he was clothed, he was fed, and he had some freedoms, right? He was a servant. He's taking care of his master's house, and the master was away one day, and the wife was making a play for Joseph, and he wouldn't give in. He ran away. Men, if you're listening, when women start getting funny, you start running. Joseph ran, but she grabbed a hold of his coat and said, rip. She ripped his clothes. And when the master came back, she was mad because she was rejected. And she lied about Joseph. Joseph was a good guy. He did the right thing. He was persevering. And she said to her husband, you know what? That servant, I got his clothes right here. He come in here and he started messing with me. And I had to fight him off and I took this off of his clothes. This is proof that he was here. And they threw him in prison, an innocent man. But you know what? God elevated him to second in command of all of Egypt. God took him out of that prison and gave him second only to the Pharaoh. And when he spoke, Pharaoh said it would be as if you're speaking. Setbacks are difficult to bear. They bring feelings of discouragement, defeat, fear, and humiliation. Man, it's embarrassing when things go wrong and you get a setback and you know you've been doing the right thing. And everyone else is looking at you like, loser. You're a loser, man. You and that Jesus stuff. Believe in God. The world will look at you like that. They may not say it. You know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, keep going. It'll happen. Discouragement. Man, I did everything God told me to do. I tried so hard, God. And then now look what happened. God has a purpose in allowing setbacks. We must trust in him, knowing that his ways are always best. We must wait patiently for his will to be revealed. See, guys, don't be jumping out doing stuff on your own out of the will of God, because it ain't going to come to prosper you anything. You're not going to gain anything by disobeying God and going out and trying to do things your way. It's not going to, I'm telling you, you're going to be stuck in the rut that your life is in if you continue doing it your way. Setbacks have a purpose. Setbacks have a purpose. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You love God, he's got some good stuff working out. Perseverance means service. Thank God that I have people that serve the church. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep doing good. Keep speaking good. Quit getting flustered and letting the devil put stuff in your mouth that shouldn't be there. Quit getting flustered letting the devil talk you into doing stuff you shouldn't do. Amen? It's not about you. It's not about me. There is a better life awaiting every single Christian when Christ returns. But listen to what it says. For at the proper time, not your time, not my time, the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we don't give up. If you give up, you could miss your promise. The more obedient we are to God, the more blessings we shall reap. We must keep sowing good seed into his kingdom. If you continue sowing negative seed into other people's lives, into your own life, you're going to reap a crop from it. You might be getting away with doing what you're doing today, but you are planting a seed, and it will come up in your own life, and it will get you. On the other hand, if you do good, you may not receive something right back, but later down the road you will. There was a woman during the ice storm, and our church had me and some of the brothers and sisters bring her a bunch of food and hot blankets, and she had no electricity and candles and flashlights and batteries. You know what she says when we're delivering all this stuff to her? She's grumbling. 20 years ago, I helped people out that didn't have electricity. I brought them candles, and God never did nothing for me. And I was looking around and I says, well, you got hot food, hot blankets, flashlights, candles, matches. I say that you didn't. I said, did you ever need any kind of help like this in the last 20 years? Well, no, I always had electricity. It's the first time this ever happened to me. Well, maybe God was storing up a blessing. You sowed a seed and 20 years later, you got a crop out of one seed. A few candles she gave. God didn't forget. God didn't forget. He blessed her with much more than she gave. And he gave it to her at the proper time. It wouldn't have done her no good to get hot blankets and a hot meal and all of that stuff when she didn't need it. God's storing up treasures that the thief can't take from you. But the devil wants you to lose it. He wants you to strike out at people. He wants you to get angry with people. He wants you to get mad and insult people and rip into them, take away from them. Service should be performed as unto the Lord. The more we do, the more criticism we often receive from other people. You're going to meet opposition. But listen, whenever you do something, have the attitude that you're doing it for God, because he's going to ask you to do things for people that don't deserve it. And you're going to want to say, no. I'm not going to do that. They don't deserve it. They're not worthy, right? But if you're doing it for God, you just say, yes, Lord. Yes, God. Because I know you love them even when I don't. If you be true with yourself, you'll say that. I don't love this person, God, but I'll do it. I'll do it, God, because I love you. That's where your love for other people starts. It starts with God. You got to have that love. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So please keep this in mind that whatever you do, whether it be your job, whether it be buying something for somebody, whether it be giving somebody a ride on the side of the road, say, God, this, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it because I love you. And I'm going to do it with all of my ability. I'm going to do it with all of my power. I don't care what my neighbor says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what my mom and dad say. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do that you told me to do, because I'm working for you and not for people. And in conclusion, I want to say perseverance takes courage. This isn't easy stuff. You have to have courage to persevere. You have to have courage to say, I'm going to change my life through Jesus. Today, I'm going to make a difference, and God is going to help me through, and I've got the courage to believe that. Amen? Today is the day of salvation. Today, I make that change. Courage takes faith in God. You can't have the courage to do God's work if you don't have faith in God. Courage takes faith in God. Faith in God takes perseverance. Look at that. We just went in a loop. Perseverance takes courage. Courage takes faith in God. Faith in God takes perseverance. You got to persevere in your faith. You got to say, things didn't go right for me yesterday, but it's a new day in the Lord, and I'm ready for round two. I got faith in you, God, and I'm going to persevere, God. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep praising you, God, no matter what my circumstances say, no matter what the people in my life say, no matter what they do. I'm going to persevere in you, God, because listen, it's all about you, God, like the song said. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm going to end up at the end of my life with you, God, so I better start working and pleasing you now. I better get used to spending time with you now, because you're the one I'm going to be with for all of eternity. Do you not know that all of eternity you will be with God? You better get to know him. Otherwise, you're going to be facing a stranger on judgment day. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Get to know him. To walk with God in this world takes perseverance. The first step in walking with him is to accept Jesus Christ. Every person is guilty of sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a penalty for sin, guys. Disobeying God is sin. It results in being separated from him. Our own attempts can never unite us with God. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus paid the penalty, guys. Listen, if you've never accepted Jesus, when you've just been coming to church and you've just been going through the motions, but you've never really accepted Jesus, you've never made him Lord and Savior of your life, this is something you should be saying to him right now. You need to ask Jesus to save you. You would start by saying, Lord, I am sorry for my sins and I turn away from them right now. Repentance. I ask you to forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ as the payment to you for my sins. I believe he died for me and you raised him from the dead. Please forgive me through Jesus Christ and help me to live a Christian life. Help me to live a Christian life. God, I tried it on my own and I can't do it. Now I want to surrender. Now I want you to help me to live that Christian life. Now I want the joy that surpasses all understanding, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Now I want to know what it feels like to be in the storm and the storm not being me. The storm not being me. How many of you want that today? How many of you are not experiencing the victory that you should be experiencing in Christ Jesus? How many of us? If you're not having peace in the storm, then you don't have the Prince of Peace controlling the storm in your life. You're trying to fight it all on your own.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.